Okay, we continue on page Shin Nun Hei. Although we got up into the text into Shin Nun Vav, but there's a footnote we have to do at the bottom of Shin Nun Hei, footnote Beis. Again, we're talking about the idea of the Timtum HaLev, the dullness of the heart. And that's why a person isn't able to daven properly. And you're not able to fight against the Yetzer Hara properly. And therefore, the Zohar gives us the solution is a log that isn't able to catch fire well, you smash it. And the same thing we're dealing over here is the klipa. The klipa that the person associates his identity with the klipa. So we've got to smash that klipa, which really is, means to smash ourselves. We'll have to discuss how you're going to do that, but we have to understand that. And so footnote Beis was explained, we didn't do that yet, but really the klipa is the Beinoni person that exists, and how the animalistic soul keeps the body alive, and it's very strong, and that is the person. So let's take a look at footnote Beis. Beir inyan achia shemitzad haklipa. Let's discuss the life that comes from the side of the klipa. Kfar nisbar bazel already explained in the first chapter. He says shekasher, and in the sixth chapter, shekasher achia shemitzad haklipa. When life comes from the klipa, harei ein zerak sheboi machmas midos ros. It's not just that it's coming from bad midos. Ela etzem amahus, but the essence, he maus shel klipa. That's the essence of klipa. Not only what the klipa does, but what the klipa is. And what is this? The neighbor emes hanimtza hayechidi hakadosh baruch hu v'eino mavado. The truth is, the only reality that exists is Hashem, and there is no other reality but Hashem. V'tzad haketusha, and the side of holiness. That's all that exists. Shesham hu hashras kedusha shel kadosh baruch hu. That's where Hashem's Kedusha rests on. V'hu bevachinas bitul. And this is the aspect of bitul, which means she'ena metzias l'atzmo. There is no other independent reality than Hashem. So all other reality has to be mavatal itself, has to be nullified to that reality of Hashem. However, uklipa v'sitra achar, but the klipa and the other side, he hepecha kedusha, that's the opposite of holiness. And its objective is lahastir al ha'emes, to hide the truth. V'lios metzius v'dervnatso, and to appear to be an independent reality other than Hashem.
Whoa.
That is the klipa. That's the other side. The other side means there's another side. Now really, there is no other side. It's only Hashem.
It's a fake out.
But Hashem has created this fake reality of, well, there's an alternative reality. And that's what the person, the Beinoni, nurtures from. V'nim tzumum is that it's understood from here. Sha'adam tzarech lira says asma shekol mitziyoso hikamamer chazal. A person has to look that his whole reality is, as the rabbis say, a person should say, ani lo nivresi ela l'shamish eskoni. I was only created but to serve my maker. That's what it's supposed to be. Avol kasher margish asatzmo mahuz. But when a person sees himself as in his own essence, even though he serves Hashem, he does mitzvahs, he goes to minyan. He now votes Hashem shalom. He hoisofa al mahus. He views his service to Hashem as a cherry on the top. It's an addition to his essence. In other words, I exist. Now on top of my existence, I will include Hashem in my world. I will serve Hashem. On top of the fact that I exist even without Hashem, I will also serve Hashem for whatever benefits I get from this. Okay? Now that's the way he looks at it. Chayav einam chayim shemahus miyanu Hashem. His life is not a life that the essence and the context is just service of Hashem. When a person's life is from the animalistic soul and from the klipa, what's the definition of his life? who chayim gufaniim, physical life. Shechayim b'vneas, so he lives for himself. Lo chayim shol bitul Hashem. It's not a life of nullifying himself before Hashem. V'nimtza comes out, kol mahusam shol chayim ke'elu, the whole essence of such a life, hu mahusam shol klipa. It's a life of a klipa. Okay, it's very important stuff he's saying here.
Oh boy.
So a person forgets what it's all about. Everyone thinks, I have my life, and let's see how we can fit Yiddishkeit into my life.
Where does it fit in?
Well, Minyan is not at a convenient time.
I'm not coming.
Because it's only an addition to my life. It's not my life. My life is my job. My life is my hobbies. My life is my family. And wherever I can inconveniently stick Hashem into it,
conveniently,
I will.
Whenever I can conveniently squeeze
him into my life, I'll squeeze him into my life. But if for me to change anything in my life, you don't let an adjunct run your life. Religion is just, it's a nice thing to have if you can afford it. Right? I wouldn't spend any money on my Yiddishkeit. I have to spend my life on vacations and everything else. So therefore his life he nurtures from the klipa. That's his whole life. His whole life is the outside existence of Hashem. Vim Cain comes out, Gama Beinoni, so this average person, given Shehiskabruso, Kirach Vinogela Machshova, Dibra Maisavonagela Maus, his strengthening in terms of his avodas Hashem. So where does it relate to? It relates to thought, speech, and action, but not his essence. Hare nirgash etzlo shechayiv u'mahusayim dor v'nasso. Because he feels that his life is its own independent reality. It's not coming from Hashem. Chayim shel klipa. It's life from the other side. A side that has nothing to do with Hashem. All right, that is the life of the Beinoni. Umavur v'kama mekomos b'chassidus. This is explained in many places in Chassidus. Shekam eitzel beinoni, even by the beinoni, v'afilu eitzel rasha, even by the wicked. Ha'emesi, the real truth is, shehachayim hagashmim hemei nefesh olkis. The real truth is, even your physical life does come from the divine soul. Chayiv hamitim hemei olkis, because true life is Hashem. V'hanefesh olkis, and the divine soul. Ein adavar nosaf al mahus. It's not something extra to his life. His real essence is his divine soul. That is the real reality, whether he realizes it or not. That is his real reality. V'arayilas, and the proof is, what's the proof? Great proof he brings. Sharei be'inyin koifin esachiyem eretzani. We know this is a concept. If a man refuses to give a divorce to his wife when he's supposed to, we hit him and beat him. And we force him until he says, I want to. Kumavurva Rambam, as the Rambam explains in the laws of divorce. Now, why does that work? So what does the Rambam say? Because Shazel Mipnei Sheba Emes Reitz Alas Hashem. Because he really wants to do the rule of Hashem. Yak Yitzra Umso, but it's the Yitzra Hara that's forcing him. So what do you do? Vadesh Yakovina, so by beating him, Masir Menu Ha'oines Sha'amso Yitzra. We take away the coercive force of the Yitzra Hara. And the true will is revealed. That's what the Rambam says. Because remember, the problem is a man must only divorce willingly. So that's always a problem. If it's to be willingly, he doesn't want to. How could it be willingly? If you try to convince him and he agrees, then it becomes willing. So we're saying, no, you hit him and you beat him up. And says, okay, I'll do it. Willingly? Yes.
Physically, you beat him up?
Yes. Physically. If talk doesn't help.
For you, huh?
If talk doesn't help, and where he's supposed to divorce his wife, right? Nowadays, if we do that, they'll throw the rabbis in jail.
Well, it's
against Ontario law.
There's a couple cases recently in the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing. They had hit squads that went out and.
And what happened?
They beat the crap out of these guys.
Did they get caught? Did they get caught?
I don't know what the story is, but tasers with electrical prods and everything. I mean, they really...
Okay, anyway, so the problem is like this. But let's not fool ourselves. So the guy says, I want. But really, he doesn't want. How can you say he wants? He only wants to not get beaten up. How can you say, after all is said and done, he did it? But he doesn't want to divorce. He just doesn't want to suffer pain.
That's right.
So even after all is said and done, so how do you understand this Rambam? You're saying, the real desire is to serve Hashem. It's the Yetzer Hara. That's the Yetzer Hara is forcing him to be a stubborn jerk. So we're beating up the Yetzer Hara so that the pure person is coming up. I say, I have to explain. Now, if we would say that for a Beinoni or a Russia, that the divine soul is only an addition to the main part of the person, it wouldn't help to beat him up. Because the real person doesn't want to.
That's right.
He doesn't want to. I really don't.
Yeah.
But there's this, so if, that depends how you look, is in the real reality, what is the source of that person? If it's a divine soul, then that's the real person. Now, even though the Beinoni of the Russia, he perceives himself as something separated from Hashem. He does not perceive himself as essentially being a divine soul. He perceives himself as an independent reality. But that's his false perception. I mean, perception is his reality, but it's not the divine reality. It's not the true reality. You know, perception's reality isn't reality that is by definition phony reality. But the real reality is defined by Hashem's reality. And by Hashem's reality, the source and the essence of the Jew is the divine soul. But if it's not, if you would think that it wasn't, then how does it help to beat the guy up? Because if he really is not a divine soul, then he really doesn't want to divorce her. He's just satisfying the cherry on the top. That's not the essence. But since the Rambam and the Gemara says that it does work, so what must we say? Sure, sorry, years, because the guy's got to want to divorce her. Losha neshama, you can't say that only the neshama tirtza. You know, that's something that I have in my luggage wants to. Right? That's not enough. But we see it still helps. So what do we have to say? Val korchacha, we must say. Mahusa miti, seems the true essence of every Jew is his divine soul. That's the truest part of the person. But the only problem is, rakshazo, bamitis ubiptim sa'inim. That's only the true, deep, innermost sense that the fellow himself is not aware of. But the problem is, the divine soul passes through the animalistic soul, because the divine soul is higher up. So it's giving energies for the person to live, and you got this animalistic soul that's taking up a lot of space in the in-between. It appears in the revealed side, mistakenly, and externally, the person thinks he's a physical being. It's the life of animalistic soul. Vezuhi mahuso, and he thinks that's his essence. Vanevish alokis, but the divine soul he thinks, he davernasav, is just a cherry on the top. That's the real essence here. Tzaddik, but the real tzaddik, shazike chesnav shalom, that has purified his animalistic soul, b'mizgala ha'inyan kefi shulamito. Then the truth is revealed to him as it really is. Shechay v'mahusu gam begilui heim nefesh alokis. His life and his essence, even in a revealed state, is the divine soul. So this is a very important footnote. So what this footnote is saying, again, is the following. If you are Jewish, the true, real reality is that you are a divine soul, period. And in that divine soul, you know the true reality, your divine soul knows the true reality, that there's no other reality but Hashem, and your whole life is meant to be subservient to Hashem, and the only true desire you really have is the will of Hashem. That is the truth. If you know it or not, that's the truth. A tzaddik has worked on him so much that he is able to perceive that reality. Anything less than a tzaddik, which includes present company, beinonim, if we're lucky to be a beinoni, or a rasha, even that, the true reality hasn't changed. But our perception of reality, which we mistakenly say perception is reality, as far as our lives are concerned, is that we really feel that we are independent beings. We feel I am my own person because, and that's messed up perception because of the fact that I got this body and there's this klipa, there's this shell, there's this other side that Hashem has enabled me to, if I wish to be fooled, to allow to perceive that there is a reality other than Hashem. And therefore, I live with this understanding that I am what I am. What I am, I is who I am, and what my physical body is, and what my personal drives and desires are. And then I carry some luggage. Just like if I decide to put on a kippah, I wear my kippah and show that I'm Jewish. If I decide to pick up the luggage called the neshama, then I can decide that I want to do a few things for Hashem to make Hashem happy. Right? And that is the challenge of the Beinoni. And therefore, when Yiddishkeit is convenient for me, that's, and this again is very descriptive of what Frum Orthodoxy is right now. Yeah. Frum Orthodoxy is people feel their own reality, and I'll fit Hashem in. Of course I have to fit Hashem in, but it'll be according to my convenience. It'll be according to my convenience. And when it's not convenient, I don't fit him in. And that's fine. Okay, this is the challenge here. So the person perceives himself as being outside of Hashem. He perceives himself as independent. That is the klipa. That is that shell of false reality, that alternative lifestyle. You have the alternative lifestyle that I live my own life. And based on my own life, wherever I can, I got 613 mitzvahs. So now the starting point is me, myself, and I, my body, my physical desires and wants. And then we try to fit in where the Torah, says I have to do certain things. Okay, I'll fit it in as best as possible because I am a loyal Jew. I'm loyal to something outside of myself. That's the whole failure of today's Yiddishkeit. The total breakdown of the Frum society is in the pits. It's in the pits. I was just, I was at a shiva house unrelated to this shul. And it was a lady I teach down south. So she was seeing shiva up north. So if I'll visit her, so you walk in, it's like 50 ladies. I say, give a vault. There's one man there. I recognized him. Daniel Mechanic, if you remember him.
Yeah.
He used to speak for Rabbi Mechanic.
Okay, yes.
So he's worked for Project Chazon for the last 15, 20 years, I don't know. And that project is to do what Discovery did for secular people, to do it for Frum people. Yeah. And especially for teenagers. Yeah. And he was bemoaning. He says, we're finished. He sees what's going on, going all around the United States. All high school says, we're finished. There's no sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their lives. Finished. So I said, okay. I said, we can't despair. But not a lot of despair. We don't have just despair based on my drush of last week. But I said, but he really sees it. He's saying that this is what happened. The klipa is strong. And if what Hashem wants doesn't fit into what I want, so too bad. It's number two. It's not number one. So now, and that is what brings, as the Tanya's talking about, the second thing that prevents, so why are we not happy with our Yiddishkeit? Why is it not? Because there's a timtum alev. The dullness of the heart happens when the klipa is very strong. Because I'm more into what the klipa wants than what Hashem wants. So now, what did the Zohar say is the solution? You have to smash the klipa.
Kindling.
You have to smash the cleat, just like a log that doesn't light. You smash it to bits till it's small enough to be kindling. So the human being who associates himself totally with the klipa, with this other reality, is so we just have to smash the person, which by definition smashes his concept of this other reality. That's how it happens.
How do we do that?
How do you smash her? Yeah.
We got a lot more to go in the chat.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. don't want to.
It's a lot better if you smash yourself, but if not, then Hashem has to do this.
Because that was my question earlier. I don't know. Can I ask it now?
That's what, you know, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is supposed to be about. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's what fasting does. That's what, in the old days, they would fast. They would roll in snow and ice, all that, to afflict the body, to say, I'm not a body. I'm not a body. Stop it with this body business over here. Well, fasting also. I'm not indulging in those physical things.
But you can see all those activities are so challenging to this society.
That's not who I am. All right, we'll have to see other things. But that's the main idea, and that's why he's saying you got to smash the person, because what are you trying to break? You have to break the false reality. That's what you have to break. And so it's this distortion. The person thinks he's an independent person, and Hashem's an adjunct. So that's who he is, not what he does. That's what he is, and therefore we have to smash that perception of what he is. Till he'll finally come to Beetle. That's what has to happen over here.
Rabbi.
Yes, sir.
Hashem gave us this reality that it's not that we made it. Hashem gave it to us. And the Siddur, we pray every day for all things that are physical, parnasa, health, duasians, everything that's physical. This is the reality that we live in. It's Hashem's reality that he gave it to us. How can we say that, no, this is not the real reality? It is what Hashem gave us. It's not that we made it up. It's what it is. So, okay, we have to understand where it's coming from, what we have to do, but we can't say, no, smash it up because it's no good. It's what Hashem gave us. How can you do that?
Hashem did not give us the physical world to be defined as our reality.
That's fine, but that's what he gave us. But here.
He gave it to us after he gave us something more important. He gave us an understanding that we are his servants, and his reality is our reality.
He didn't ask us to detach ourselves from this reality.
He asked us to be totally connected to Hashem, and in the state of being totally connected to Hashem, to now deal with the physical world with an understanding that this physical world is a big narishkeit.
But we use the physical world.
Fine, but not to define who I am. Not to define who I am. Hashem says this is to be used only on the terms that I gave you, that really you don't need any of this stuff, but I'm telling you to play around with this stuff. But this all is false. All this stuff is false. It's just tools. It's not your essence. It's not your essence.
Why did he give it to us?
So that we could elevate the entire physical world and make the world that by
the physical world,
make the physical world be a vocal cord for Hashem.
Fine, but we need the physical world.
But not to say that that's the primary. Not to say, well, because my job is so important, I can't come to Minyan. That you cannot do, because Hashem says you are part of my reality. And you only use that world the way I say you use it.
Why do we pray for Parnassa?
Okay, let's look at the order of the prayers, and you'll see how Hashem has given us a good hierarchy.
Yeah.
The first thing we pray for is brains.
Fine.
The brains to understand what's real and what's not real.
That's physical. Brains are physical.
No. The brains to understand that everything in this world comes from Hashem. Everything is just an extension from Hashem, and nothing is independent from Hashem. And if I don't get that, then I don't have no point in davening anymore, because I have a distorted sense of reality. The first thing we pray is, Hashem, let me understand reality the way you want me to understand reality. That's da'as. Let me look at a job as a job is not a career. A job is part of a curse. Let me understand that everything comes from you. There is no reality other than you. I have to really believe that. I don't exist other than you. And if I don't get that, then anything else I'm going to ask for is going to be a disaster. So that's the first thing he's saying. Give me the das to know that anything that I have to do in the physical world is totally you. It's not independent from you. And I don't look at it as anything outside of you.
So that's an understanding of what the reality, the real world is.
Yeah, and then
deny the real world. It doesn't
smash
it up.
But if you understand what it is, then you don't get addicted to
it. But if you do understand, you still have to live with it.
Live in it, but not live for it.
Fine.
And 99% of Orthodox Jews live for it, okay, not with it.
Okay, I go along with that. Okay.
Thank you. Then the next thing we ask for, the next thing, Hashem, bring us close to your Torah.
Yeah.
I haven't talked about Parnassa yet.
That's beautiful.
Bring your kingdom. Bring us close to serve you and bring us back in tshuva. Let's be close to you.
Okay.
Okay? And then forgive for our averos. Where we're making this mistake, we don't want to make that mistake anymore.
Yeah.
Save us from spiritual challenges. Now, if you really understand what you're asking for, then you can start saying, and now that I truly understand. Now
that I get it.
So if you want me to do your job, because I'm only doing your job, now I need a few tools to do the job. I need health, I need parnasa, but only in the context of what I said beforehand. Only at those first brachas have said, you're the only reality. I'm tired of being fooled by reality. Yesterday I was an idiot and I went to work knowing that I was going to miss minyan. And I did, that's a terrible affair. How come I'm so foolish to do that? So now I hope to forgive me for that. And now that I hopefully am on track, now, you know, if you want me to do the job, I need to have a few tools. But I look at any of the physical blessing as merely the tools to do your job. And if I don't need to do your job, I don't need those tools.
That's it.
So that's what a proper Shemoneh Esrei is. If you have the time for it. Okay. So that's what he's saying. You have to understand that this, what the true reality is. If you don't get that, if you live in the world of a klipa, if you think you're an independent reality other than Hashem, then why should you enjoy your Yiddishkeit? Why in the world should you enjoy being a Jew? It's a pain in the neck. Anything about Yiddishkeit makes me do things that goes against my life.
My better
judgment. It is. That's what Mordechai always says. How do you expect a teenager, how is it going to adult, to daven with kavana? It gets in the way. Why do you expect? Why do you expect somebody to daven properly? Because it's not their life. It's not their life. Your life is your job. Your life is your family. Your life is everything but Hashem. Okay, but you know there's a boss, so he has some rules, so you gotta make him happy. That's like what it is. That's what it is. Right. Does anybody think before the only thing, the only criteria I have in deciding this is what does Hashem want me to do? Is that the way you make your decisions? For sure not. For sure not. For sure not. For sure not. So that's the point. So now he's gonna bring a proof to this from the Gemara. We're back on Shin Nun Vav now, at the bold words. Ukamaymer Hillel Azakin LeTalmidav. Let's look at what Hillel said to his students. When he would go to eat. Hayomer. What would Hillel say before he would go to sit down to eat? Now, what does a normal person, say? I'm hungry. I haven't eaten all day. I'm famished. Boy, I hope my wife made a good meal so that my sensory glands or whatever.
My palate
is happy. And my hunger goes away.
Yes.
I want as much pleasure as I can have.
Yeah.
Now, we don't say that, but that's what we mean. You know? And if the food isn't so tasty and the husband doesn't have good meals, the wife hears about it.
Ooh.
Right? And that's why I mentioned in which at Shal Shittis last week, where this rabbi taught people for Shalom Bayis, never go home and ask what's for dinner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because what's it matter? What's it matter? Whatever she puts out, that's what you eat. What's the shiloh?
Yeah, but if you ask that question with intention of saying, wow, that's fantastic.
No, after you eat it, you thank her for it.
Good or bad.
You sit down for dinner. You don't say what's for dinner. You say, I see you've been busy preparing dinner. Thank you. But you don't. It doesn't matter what she makes.
That's right.
You don't have to say what's for dinner. That's just dumb. It's just filling up the space with words of no importance. You want to say something?
And that's your intention to say that's fantastic. No matter what her response.
But you don't have to ask what's for dinner. You don't know yet. You only can say it's fantastic after you ate it. You can walk and say, "My, the house smells so good, dear. I could see you've been very busy trying to take care of me." But you don't have to ask what she made. What do you have to ask what she made? The point is, you want to show karas hatov. Doesn't matter what she makes. But a husband will ask, what's for dinner? As if to say, she says, hamburger. Hamburger?
Again?
Hamburger?
Again?
Yeah, but again, if your intention is to compliment her, no matter what her response is.
But you don't have to ask what, when you walk out, you don't have to ask what's for dinner.
Setting yourself up.
Don't, what are you asking for? Now, after you eat it, you could say, wow, that was a really great meal. Thank you so much for making the meal. You did an outstanding job for making, you know, the scrambled eggs for dinner. You know, for defrosting a TV dinner. Thank you, dear. You did an amazing job that made sure dinner was on time. You know. Okay, now, so what would Hillel do? What would Hillel do before he'd eat?
Mm.
He says, "Shu'olech ligmol chesed im ha'aluva v'nihugo." I'm about to do a kindness with an impoverished body.
Mm.
Mine. I'm doing a chesed to my body that is as a poor, poor, insulted being, a lowly creature. Can you imagine a mishulach at your door who's filthy, smelly? You have to take care of him. So he'll relate it to his body as that. Ki kamo zor nechshav eso. As far as he was concerned, his body was a stranger. Ulochein Omar. So what would he say? Shu gomel chesed imo b'mash machilo. He says, I'm going to do a kindness with my body by feeding my body. And just like a mother will does a kindness to the little infant by feeding the infant baby food. So Hillel, who is Hillel? I am a divine soul. That's who I am. Divine soul doesn't have to eat. Okay, I happen to have this poor body that lives in my house that needs to be fed. So I'll do him a favor. I'm going to do a chesed with pleasure. And the chesed is to the body who's a visitor. My body is a visitor in my home. Because he himself, he's only a divine soul. Because what really gives him life? The divine soul gives him life. Okay, the body happens to be visiting. Okay, I have to do chesed with the body, but you're looking at the body as an outside party, not who you are. Look in the commentary. Eitzel tzadikim, by tzadikim ein zarak she'ikar esam hu nefesh. It's not just only that the main thing is their divine soul. V'haguf hu davar zar is a stranger. Ki chaye haguf einem tosim makom klal. And because the body doesn't really take any place. It's not only that. Elod yosher, more than that. So gam chaye gufo, also his life with his body. He looks at his, not just the body, but the life of the body. Ki gufam chaye minemesh, he understands that the body lives only via the divine soul. Because by the tzaddikim they see, they understand, my essence is the divine soul. Ki chaynu etzlam gam mitzad haguf, and that even the body part is only because of the divine soul that is there. So if a person can talk about himself as a third party, talk about his body as in the third person, now he has the true understanding of what the body is. So, you know, when you come off a hard day work, you say, okay, I have to do a big chesed.
Yeah.
My body's a shtickle hungry.
Yeah,
okay, so I have to take care of him. The hilchus tzedakah, you have to give the poor man what he's accustomed to. All right, so he's accustomed to eating a piece of chicken. Okay, you poor forlorn body, I'll give you something to eat. Right, so that's the true understanding of how a person has to look at his body. Right. He would also say he was doing chesed to wash himself.
Yeah.
To wash himself, to be hygienic. But it's not like, oh, now I feel great, I feel amazing. Maybe you feel, I don't feel any of that stuff. That's my body. The visitor feels this. But not me. Not me. I feel amazing that I'm doing chesed with my body. I'm feeling spiritually alive that I'm doing a chesed with my body to make it, to feed it. That's the real way you have to look at it. Okay, we're going to stop here. We haven't gotten to the smashing part. God willing, next week we'll start smashing.
I appreciate there's another party involved when there's a divorce.